You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, welcome along. You're listening to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall with you to look forward to the Hong Kong Open and the Shriners Hospitals for Children Open on the PGA Tour this week. Good to have you with us. Mike Grenham will be giving his selection for the Shriners as well. That's coming up in the podcast. But from a live perspective, myself, Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall with you, we always start with a reflection on what happened last week. And we saw a couple of very good performances on the respective tours. Andy Sullivan, his annihilation of the field in Portugal, and Emiliano Grillo, who had won the Web.com Tour Championship, winning his first PGA Tour event, Dave. Interesting week last week, and maybe a pointer to the future.
Yeah, with Sullivan, absolutely lapped the field, didn't he? What, 9 shots? Just he'd had those 2 wins in South Africa, which obviously marked him down as someone who can get hot and now win, and that one, yeah, it was just superb from pillar to post, wasn't he?
Incredible performance, absolutely killed them, and he's a player that's elevated his game in the last 12 months, hasn't he, to a different kind of level.
Yeah,
and he doesn't seem to be burdened by the pressure of going to win a golf tournament now.
No, he seems to have the demeanour of someone who's just out for like a four-ball with his mates.
Yeah,
permanently, wherever he is, he's just kind of got that. He's quite a humble sort of bloke, isn't he? And he's just sort of having a... can't quite believe what he's doing. But funny, a mate of mine who was out there said, I've always got this little thing, the first golfer you see, you must back. And he saw him, not on the golf course, just sort of wandering about somewhere. So he said, should he back him? Or I can't remember who else he saw on the golf course. He said, well, strictly, you should back the first golfer you see. And that was Andy Sullivan.
Wow. And did he back him?
I'm not sure in the end, but he was 33s, wasn't he? I think he went off.
Yeah.
So in hindsight, a sort of decent price, I guess, for a 2-time winner this year. And shown snippets of coming back to form as well previously.
From a podcast perspective, Mr. Tindall, we had 2 players going reasonably well at different stages in both tournaments. Nicholas Coulthard's led after round 1, something that you mentioned last week, and a little bit short maybe at 40-1 to do that, but he seems incapable at the moment of stringing, never mind 4 rounds together, just 24 holes together, in all honesty. He dropped out tamely. But Brendan Steele, Mike's pick at 66-1 last week, in the event, the fries.com, which Grillo won in the end, he led after round 1, 2 and 3 and then dropped away, which is even more galling.
It is, because you know, you look at the final result, and what was he, tied 17th, and it, you know, you get nothing for that, do you? Get nothing for 3 in this game, my lad, but nothing for leading after 3 rounds. And it was just sort of, I don't know, it always seems to happen when you're on them, doesn't it?
Yeah,
somehow
it doesn't happen, it doesn't work the other way when you nick one, does it? And, and someone that's led for 3 rounds,
we obviously talked about Grillo, didn't we, in the podcast, and at least there was a little bit of consolation, Dave, because on the in-play shift on Sunday night, which I do on the US golf, I did put him up at 14s, Grillo.
Okay.
At the start of play.
Oh, that's good.
So that was a nice sort of winner.
You seem to have quite a few winners on that Sunday night stint.
Yeah, tune in, folks. Yeah, it's just a chance to reassess. He was only 2 off the lead going into the final round. I know it was quite a packed leaderboard, but a lot of those are in and around him, and Steele has only won once, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Looks kind of vulnerable. I thought 14s was a fair price. I know he made it hard work, but he got it done.
And that playoff was... I think interesting is the word to describe that playoff, because Grillo missed that 3.5-4 footer for the win, which it was a dodgy putt, without a doubt, pulled it. And then Kevin Na seemed to be in prime position to capitalise on the very next hole, and inexplicably he smothered a driver off the deck, which barely got off the ground, and he ended up stymied behind a tree and could only force it onto the back edge of the green, and Grillo ended up making a putt from around about 9-10 feet with no pressure on.
Yeah, probably
so
the way he
fell into his lap, didn't it?
Given the way he'd missed that 2-footer to win in Puerto Rico, it was obviously there was some scar tissue starting to build up here. So I'm glad for him; he's got it done, and now the future's very bright, isn't it, for the Argentine?
It is. How high can he go?
Yeah, he could win a few, couldn't he?
Could. Let's get stuck into this week then, Mr. Tindall. We'll start with the UBS Hong Kong Open. Justin Rose is the 11-2 favourite. Dustin Johnson is 8-1. Graham McDowell, Matthew Fitzpatrick and Patrick Reed, all 16s. Expect Ian Poulter's name to be slipped into that list very shortly because he's playing this week. He'll be around about a 16-1 shot, one would imagine. Anibal Lahiri is 20-1. Marcus Fraser, 25s, along with Miguel Angel Jimenez. Tongchai Zhaidi, also 25-1, and it's 33s bar. Ian Poulter making that 19-hour trip to Hong Kong to get in this event because after Sullivan's win last week, that pushed him out of the top 50, which means that at the moment he's not eligible for the WGC event, which is coming up in the Far East. So he won't have been able to fulfill his required quota to be available for selection for next year's Ryder Cup team. It's convoluted, but yes. Basically he has to play this week now.
Yeah, and I think you were telling me off air that Rich Beam has kind of stepped aside as the... there was a limited number of sponsor invites, and Rich Beam was... Rich Beam is a bit of a recreational golfer now, isn't he? He's probably thinking, oh, I'll have a nice week in the Sky commentary box and going to Happy Valley or something.
I think Sky have probably said to Rich Beam, do you want to come and work for us and give Ian Poulter the opportunity? Because we know that he's going to maybe generate viewing figures if he makes that Ryder Cup team.
That's one way of looking at it, I guess. I mean, it's a good...
Maybe a cynical way of looking
possibly.
At it.
It's a good course, though, for Poulter, isn't it, I think? This one, it's a par 70, quite tight, tree lined. I think Poulter, I expect him to have a good week.
Yeah, measures just under 7,000 yards, this golf club, Fanling in Hong Kong. Tricky par 70, as you've mentioned. It's weird, Scott Hend, who's a big hitter.
That was odd.
Won last year, it was. He posted a total of 14 under par. He was in control of every facet of his game just for those 4 days last year. Prior to that, Miguel Angel Jimenez won back-to-back in 2012 and 2013. Ian Poulter, the aforementioned, has won on this golf course as well. Rory McIlroy has also won on the layout. Greens in regulation has been a common denominator when searching for the winner here. Scrambling is difficult. Fairways are tree-lined. Short but not easy. I think looking back through players that have performed well at this venue, it's just controlling the ball is key, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I mean, Scott Hend, although he did win, you look at his form at the course before, that was terrible. I think he'd not had anything better than 60th in six attempts. So I just think... for any good golfer can be on, can't they? Can have a good week. I just think he had a good week.
An exception to the rule, maybe.
Yeah. Ironically, though, he won last week, didn't he? He won the Macau Open. So I think it's too good to be true, though, that he's won last week and defending champion. That normally goes the wrong way, doesn't it? I'd rather be against him, I think, this week.
Yeah, I agree. And it's a big week for those looking to make it into the top 110 because this is their last opportunity to keep their cards.
There's a lot of guys around that bubble mark either hanging on. I think Seve Benson's the man, isn't he, on... banging 110th, and all those, I had a look at all those around him, maybe from like 100th to 120th, they're all there, they're all going to take their chance this week, and there's bound to be, isn't there, some hard luck story where someone misses a 3-footer or something.
You think you'll have those narratives running throughout the course of the week, and top 60 get into the final series as well. So there's a different kind of pressure there for those looking to make it into that top 60.
Obviously, one thing you've got to think, just because they need to play well doesn't mean they do play well, does it?
No, it doesn't always happen.
There's temptation to just think, oh, he needs to. Well, he's needed to do that for 4 or 5 weeks beforehand. So I think I'd rather be looking at the ones who maybe got it done last week or in the last few weeks and have got it wrapped up and can freewheel it a little bit this week. I have got one, actually.
Different players
further down the betting.
Different players respond to different pressure differently, don't they, as well? I've got one pick here. Yeah. One pick in the event. How many have you got? Just one?
I'm going to say two because I don't want to give this guy... His price is a little bit frustrating, but he's still three figures. I'll start with him, actually. It's Craig Lee.
Right, okay.
Finished tied sixth in Portugal last week. And that's basically sewing up his card. He had been struggling a little time before that. He'd missed cuts in Germany and Scotland. Made the cut at the British Masters, and then he built on that final round 65 to get that top six in Portugal. I think you're looking around €250,000 to be safe, and he's past that mark. So I think there'll be an element of relief there for him. You mentioned greens in regulation. Well, he was tied first for greens in regulation last week in Portugal. So his irons are clearly dialed in. Just looking at his results as well, he did have back-to-back top eight finishes earlier in the season at the Czech Masters and Russian Open. So now that he's just had, you know, another top 10, maybe another one will follow quickly. Just had one look at this course in 2014 last year. Shot 65 in round two, which is a fair knock. He was in the top 25 going into the final day. Went backwards with a 75, but I think that just... I quite like those things when the results look worse than they actually were. I mean, basically he had a decent week. And if that 75 had been a 68, he would have been maybe top 10 in then. So I just think Craig Lee could be a little bit of each way value for someone who's can play the course, really good greens and regulation numbers, and that just sense of, you know,
relief.
I've got my card again. Yeah. I can just go out here and have some fun. What have we got him?
100 to 1.
Yeah. Just a little each way, be sort of half a point each way type of thing.
Yeah, okay. 100 to 1, Craig Lee, Dave's first selection here. I'm going with a man that I've mentioned on numerous podcasts, Wai Yang. I did want to play him once the European Tour went to the Far East, and this is the week, I think, for Wai Yang. 80 to 1, I'll take a chance with him. Record here, quite mixed. Wai Yang missed his last couple of cuts at the venue. Has shown form here, though, having played very well in 2011, was third going into Sunday there before faltering and finishing seventh. That's his best finish at the track, but he has posted some other low numbers at Fanling as well. And I do like the way he's been playing recently. Only finished 38th in the British Masters at Woburn, but was seventh in the all-around, which I think bodes well for this week. And he has been on my radar since he finished 10th in the Scottish Open. That was followed by the performance in the European Masters where he blitzed the field for 36 holes before falling away over the weekend. He's actually placed in two of his last five starts in China. I know this is Hong Kong, strictly speaking, but same part of the world. And I'm quietly confident he'll go well this week. So I like Wai Yang as my one and only pick here at 80 to 1.
Yeah, that's good. My second pick is another guy who... as an Asian Tour background, but he's come to Europe and been a proven winner. He actually won the European Open just a couple of starts ago, and that's Thongchai Jaidi. So I've gone for Lee and Jaidi. Nice bit of rhyming there. Both could be Cockney rhyming slang for something.
We don't want to know what, though, do we?
Tweet those in. Keep them clean. So Thongchai Jaidi, he's got a ridiculously good record at this course. It's just amazing. 8 successive top 20s.
That is incredible.
At Fanling. There's a second in there, a third, a seventh, a tenth, 11th, a couple of 15ths and a 19th. So every year he's on that leaderboard at some point. Just look at his scores. It's full of 64, 65, 66s. Obviously a course that really does suit him.
Definitely.
He tends to not like these longer courses, which are, you know, too much for me. He likes a sort of a ball striker shot making test like this. And there's just no real reason why he shouldn't put in a big challenge again. He's 25 to 1, which I think is okay. Mm. I think, obviously, some of the American players are making that market. Dustin Johnson. I mean, it's not a Dustin Johnson sort of course, is it?
Doesn't strike you like a Dustin Johnson type of track, does it? But he is playing well, though, at the moment, isn't he?
He played well in the President's Cup, and I think he had 3 top 10s out of 4 in the... FedEx Cup playoffs. Mm. He's won in China as well before, but that was a more typically wide open Chinese new course, wasn't it, rather than this thing. And Patrick Reed's playing poorly, so he's 16s. I mean, I'd much rather be on Jaidi at 25s than Patrick Reed.
No, I agree, 16s. And I don't think this is a Patrick Reed type venue either. I think, given his driving accuracy or lack of driving accuracy, I'd suggest he'd want one of the new style Chinese courses. I could look very stupid at the end of the week, but it wouldn't be one for me at 16 to 1, Patrick Reed.
I mean, imagine a more kind of name player had won 2 starts ago and had this sort of form as Jaidi. They'd be 16s, wouldn't
he? He's often underrated.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's particularly underrated in the betting this week, but...
I think he is, yeah. I think we're getting 25 to 1 on a 16 to 1 chance. That's how I would see it.
Okay. I like Marcus Fraser as well. He's in a similar mould to Jaidi, but doesn't win as much, and that's why I think if you're contemplating backing Fraser at 25s, you're much better going with Jai D at 25-1 because he comes in here with a similar amount of course form. I mean, Marcus Fraser, this is just the type of track you expect him to excel on, and he's got 5 top 11s in 7 starts at Fanling, bounced back to form with a 5th at the British Masters last time out, so I can see why he's so short in the betting. But he's got 2 wins on the European Tour in 284 starts.
Yeah.
Jai D's strike rate in terms of winning events, much, much stronger.
So he got 7 wins, I think, Jai D?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is it 7? I think it's 7.
Yeah.
I know he's got more than 2 anyway.
Yeah. It's 7,
yeah. Yeah, so those two at the same price. Others that I found interesting, Hao Tong Lee, I think 125-1. He looked one to follow, didn't he, at the start of the season, but he's fallen off the planet for the most part. Played on the web.com tour, not played that well. Doesn't have much course form, but his form in China is very strong. He's a serious talent, and he's going to bounce back at some point, and it wouldn't be a surprise if it's in the Far East. 125-1. He was one that I looked at and considered. And the other one was Jai D. He made the list. He was the last one that I fancied, and he's acclimatized as well, having played in the Open in Macau, didn't he? So I can see him going well this week.
Yeah, I think we're agreed on Jai D. A couple of others I'd look at. Obviously, it looks like a Matt Fitzpatrick sort of course again.
It does, doesn't it?
I mean, can he win straight off the bat?
You know what? I think he can. 16-1 didn't tempt me, but I can see him playing very well and going close.
Yeah.
He just flushed it, didn't he, when he won at Woburn? And this just looks tailor made for his game, doesn't it? Really?
Yeah. If he hadn't have won, it's a weird one.
And you're getting 20. You'd be getting 25s, wouldn't you? Yeah. Maybe if he hadn't won.
And I'd be more inclined to back him. Mm. It's daft in that you think, oh, clearly by winning he's more confident, so we should be looking to back him again. But sometimes you think they divide it up, don't they? And you can't win every week, so. It's a big ask for him to do it again, but no surprise if he plays well. That Peter Hansen's come back to form nicely, hasn't he, in recent times? Played the course well. Jimenez has won it 4 times.
Yeah.
Absolutely his sort of track. Rickard Karlberg has got some decent...
I like him, but I missed him, and it was annoying when I missed him that week. So he's on the... He's on the naughty step for winning, basically, Rickard Karlberg. But I can see him going well. Good event, though. I'm looking forward to it. And given the dynamic of the 110 and the top 60 to get into the final series, it's a good week. Let's move on. Let's have a look at the Shriners Hospitals for Children Open on the PGA Tour this week. Ricky Fowler is 10-1. He is the favourite for the event here with William Hill. Brooks Koepka, 18-1. Kevin Na is 22s. Brant Snedeker, 25-1. Emiliano Grillo is 25-1. Ryan Moore, 25-1 as well. Scott Piercy is 28-1. Tony Finau, 30-1. Jason Bone and Jimmy Walker, both 33s. And it's 35-1 and bigger. The rest, this event is the original Birdie Fest. Since its inception in 1983, it's been a tournament that the players enjoy because it allows them to come out here and shoot lights out. And because of the nature of the event, we have had a lot of surprise winners through the years as well. It was formerly known as the Las Vegas Invitational, and a tournament that Justin Timberlake once attached his name to. The event is hosted at TPC Summerlin, a par 71 resort course measuring 7,255 yards, and the finish to the golf course is what makes the event so fun to watch. Drivable par 4 15th, par 5 16th, waterlined par 3 17th, and a strong par 4 down the last, which means we can have changes down the stretch here, Dave. It's a fun event, this one.
Yeah, I always used to be quite a mouthful, isn't it, to say when it was a Justin Timberlake as well. I think people
should just be known as the Shriners. He's not involved anymore, I don't think.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should have one, shouldn't we? We should have a singer host one of our ones.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Do you think it works?
The Sleaford Mods British Open. You won't know what that means, but believe me, they are a current band.
Are they? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I'll take your word for that, Tyndall.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Fowler is the class act in this field, isn't he? At 10-1, I think he'll have a big tournament, Ricky Fowler. But as you said in some of those notes there, it's often down to putting, isn't it, this fen? It's a big birdie fest.
And I know we've not had shocks, or we've not had as many shocks in recent years as we did since its inception.
Like 500 to 1 shots. Yeah,
I see this as an event where if you're dipping your toe in at a short price, you need to be quietly confident. I think you need to be more confident than you would on a normal week, because it is a birdie fest, and it is down to, in a large part, who puts well.
Yeah, which is, as Mike always says, how do you know that going into the week? Because it's
tough, isn't it?
It's can change in the wind, can't it? That sort of thing. So I think Fowler will run a big race, but I wouldn't want to touch him at that price.
Speaking of Mike, you mentioned him there. He's not on the podcast this week, but he likes this event a lot, Mike, and he's got a selection. So let's hear from Mr. Grenham. So Mike Grenham with me. I know you can't be on the podcast proper, Mike, but I know this is an event you quite like on the West Coast.
Yeah, I like the Las Vegas event here. Used to be 5 rounds, didn't it? I'm sure you've gone through all of that already, Dave. Fortunately, can't be on the podcast live today. But I had a really strong fancy for this event, but he's a bit short with us. Mark had said, kept Scott Piercy on side, 28-1. That's too short for me. Piercy has got 4 top 15 finishes here, was 7th last year, and has been bubbling under really well in recent months. Had a win, in fact, on tour in 2015. So a bit disappointed that he's only 28-1. I was definitely looking to back him at higher, but he's not the right price at 28, so I'm not going to do him. So instead of that, I'll look elsewhere. And on top, Brendan Todd's a player that I've been looking at. You might not be surprised that I mention him. I'm not going to pick him though, but he got a 12th here on his last outing, the last time he played here. So he was on my list. Jonas Blix was on my list.
I can see that.
Birdie man when he gets going. 3rd here on his only outing here.
Yeah.
Very interesting. I'll be having a look at him, but his form's been a bit up and down to be 66-1. Yeah. 100-1, yep. I'd have been tempted in with Jonas. So instead of that, I'm going for another Swede in Carl Pettersson, who's been in America for a long time now, really settled over in that side of the pond. Good player, knows how to win, and has some good form here in this event. And in fact, in his last 5 turnouts here, he's finished 5th and 12th and 42nd. That's in his last 3 turnouts, should I say. So he definitely knows how to play the course. He'll need to put well. His putting can be a bit up and down, but he's one of those players, when he gets streaky on a course he likes, 80-1, I think we'll get a run for our money with Pettersson. He's not been in the spotlight much in recent months and weeks, but I just have a feeling that on a course that he really likes, he's worth a go at 80s.
Definitely, I can see that. Carl Pettersson and a couple of other mentions there from Mike. Then Jonas Blix, 66-1. I could see him playing well this week. But as you mentioned, if he was triple figures, you could dip your toe into
his
the pond.
His form's been a bit up and down to be tipping him at 66s, albeit that 3rd is very eye-catching here. Pierce is the one I'm really frustrated at. I'll be interested to see how Webb Simpson plays, because he's got magnificent course form, but putter issues.
Definitely, and you've got to put well in this event, haven't you?
Yeah,
obviously.
You've got to put well, and it's a real shot gain tee to green is the stat I was looking at. Put that with birdie average, because you're going to have to go 20 under, do you think?
Yeah, definitely. You'd think so, wouldn't you?
I'll tell you one guy that won in my last point, Dave, is a guy who won in Nevada last year, Jeff Ogilvie. He's 200s in what is a weak event. You know, I like Jeff, and he had to go low in that event that he won. It's the Barbasol, I think it's called.
Yes, it is.
And yeah, I just wonder whether I might have a little saver on him as well. But it's Carl Pettersson is my man this week.
80-1 then. Mike Grenham going with Carl Pettersson, if you will, this week. 80-1 for Mr. Grenham. I liked what he was saying there. Scott Piercy was close to being... I've not got a pick in this event, by the way, Dave, but so Scott Piercy was pretty close for me as well.
Well, we can ridicule his picks because he's not here to defend himself. No, I agree with what Mike was saying. Yeah, I had a close look at Piercy, and I've used similar kind of location...
Location
reasons.
Logic.
Oh, that's good. I was looking for some alliteration and I was stumbling and you saved me. Yeah, I'm going for a guy who is also playing in his own backyard, Ryan Moore.
Okay.
I think he'll be a popular pick this week, to be honest. He admitted early on, he's been in the area. He went to UNLV and he's lived in the area about 10 years, he says, maybe 12 years now. And he did admit before, because he plays the course an awful lot, he used to play it kind of differently than how he would in tournament week. It'd obviously be, nothing to lose, have you, when you're playing with your mates. So he'd take on, like, maybe daft shots, and he might pull them off in just have a knockabout. But he said he kind of reassessed, and if you look at his form, it was just a bit iffy to begin with the first few years, but he started to get the hang of how you should play it in tournament conditions. Was seventh in 2009, and then 2012, he missed a year, 2010. 2012 was his breakthrough. He opened with a 61 and saw it through to the finish to win that tournament. Ryan Moore, obviously all his family and friends were there, his wife's family from the area. I think it was near his son's little boy's birthday. It was just like a golden week for him. Then he backed that up with a ninth place the following year.
Yes.
So he's got a seventh, a first, and a ninth in three of his last five outings there. So he clearly, all those little extras, that home advantage, sleeping in your own bed, etc., etc., has made Ryan Moore a big runner in this event. Obviously, what he wanted to do last week was probably, well, he probably wanted to win last week, but ideally he wanted to just hone his game, sharpen it up. And he did that really well. In the fries.com, shot 67-68 on the weekend to finish tied 10th. And that followed on. That was his first outing since the 28th in the BMW, which was leg three of the playoffs. He didn't make it to the Tour Championship. He had a 10th in the Wyndham as well. Just three starts before that. So he's got some nice form, and I think he's just going to time his run nicely for this one. Obviously, we've talked about putting. Putting stats in the fries.com last week, they got better as the week went on, and he had that nice kind of strokes game putting. When it's over one, when it's 1 point something, it's always you've had a good week against the field.
Yeah,
you've
been in the field by four at the end of the week, aren't
you? Yeah, you've not just done like 0.2, just over the average. Well, any plus figure is a good figure, obviously, but to be 1 point, yeah, like you said, it's more than a shot around. He's picking up on that. Hit it fairly nicely. Greens in reg hit 72% of greens in regulation last week. So all in all, I think Ryan Moore will be a big runner this week as long as that putter continues to behave as it is. And 25-1, yeah, you couldn't expect miracles on that sort of for Ryan Moore in this event, given his course form. But I think 25-1 is okay.
25-1, Ryan Moore, Dave's pick, and Mike going with Carl Peterson at 80-1. I had a number on my list, but none of them quite
met the
price requirement.
Yeah.
Of those guys at the top of the betting, I do really respect Piercy, and he was close, but I like Jimmy Walker actually for this event at 33-1. I think if you look at PGA Tour resumes from the last 3 or 4 years, he's second only behind Ricky Fowler, really. And I know he's gone completely off the boil, but there were definite signs that he was bouncing back. I mean, that 66 to close at the Tour Championship in Eastlake was fantastic, really. One of the rounds of the week. And I thought 33s was attractive. He's a previous winner of the fries.com. Comes good at this time of year. Prefers West Coast golf as well. And he's finished 10th, 12th and 4th here in his last three starts, Jimmy Walker. I thought he was interesting, actually, at 33-1. Jimmy Walker. Others are light. Spencer Levine was very close at 66-1. I tweeted about him earlier on in the week as well. It's just too short, 66, unfortunately. But he's had his problems as well, but made four straight cuts now, and he's posted some really decent scores recently as well. Rounds of 66 and 63 at the Wyndham, finished 18th there. Backed that up with a 16th place finish at the Barclays and closed with a 69 at the Fries. He's finished top 10 here three of the last 4 years. Couple of places as well, Spencer Levine. I thought he was interesting. And another one at a big price, Colton Nost, who is 100-1. Tempted to throw a few quid at him. He's got a couple of top 20s here the last two times he's played the event. One of his best recent finishes was a 10th at the Barracuda in Nevada. So he's played well on the West Coast, but 100-1, too short on Colt Nost as well. And one final name for me to mention before I let you get a word in, Dave, here. Jason Bone, who had that tournament last week in his grasp. He's 33-1. A bit of a similar profile to Marcus Fraser, who we mentioned for the European Tour event. Ideal fit for this event, in my opinion. But it's hard to back a player at such a short price who's only got two wins to his name. He's had 296 tour starts. He's won twice. Still finished third last week, so you're picking up each way money. His form figures, reading back, 18th, 2nd and 8th at Summerlin. So I like Bone, but I don't like the price.
Yeah.
So that's my summary of this event.
Yeah, Bone. Yeah, I would have been tempted in by a bigger price. Talking of which, I'm a little bit put off just by our the price we have on Sam Saunders. Obviously, that form in the Web.com Tour Championship.
It's working out, isn't it?
Out. Well, last week, Griot won it and Tyrone Van Aswegen finished third. And both those two were in the top five in the Web.com Tour Championship, as was Sam Saunders. So you've got to kind of think, well, you know, if they can do it, then why not him? Because obviously, because that was only a couple of weeks ago, that's sort of hot form. And a lot of the other guys are just sort of dusting the rust off the clubs a little bit, aren't they? Or rusting the dust, dusting, cleaning the dust.
They're doing something with dust and cleaning, aren't
dust
they?
Involved, Dustin Johnson. So it's turned into a sort of Radio 4 panel show, isn't it? I think Sam Saunders can do that. I mean, Griot, obviously, we saw him make that playoff in, was it Puerto Rico when he missed the two-footer?
Yes.
Well, wasn't Sam Saunders in that same playoff? I think he was, that Chaker won.
You're testing me now. I've got no idea.
Yeah. Chaker.
Off the top of my head,
I think
anyway.
Chaker won that. Sam Saunders was in that playoff, or certainly was in that playoff, or he's been in a PGA Tour playoff before. So he can, you know...
I can play.
He's not
he
just
play.
Arnie's he's Branson,
put some,
he's, is he?
No, he's put some really good numbers together recently, hasn't he?
So he's definitely one I can see maybe having a run at it. Last week he did miss the cut, but he shot a second round 68, so he just had a poor first round.
Yeah.
He had another a decent top 15 not too long ago. I think it was the Wyndham maybe. But yeah, he'd be the one at a sort of crazy price, but I don't think we're quite crazy enough. I think, what do we want?
No, 150 we are.
Yeah, which is, it's not exactly the worst price.
No, it's not the worst price ever. But
it's sort of one of those ones I might be needing to be a bit more greedy on. Elsewhere, I think you've covered most of the ones I looked at. Nick Watney is obviously another local guy. Russell Knox, I thought you might just mention.
Yeah,
he played well there last year.
He has played well there, hasn't he? And we're third, just waiting with Russell Knox, aren't we? Waiting. He's 50-1 this week. Russell Knox, he could go well. Jimmy Walker and Jason Bone and Scott Piercy from the top end of the market for me. Spencer Levine and Colton Ost from the lower reaches, but none of them quite met. I mean, Spencer Levine, if he'd have been 100-1 in the field, I would definitely have picked him. 100%.
Yeah.
But we've ducked him at 66-1, so he'd be the guy that came the very closest if you want to take a chance. But I think 66-1 just a little bit on the skinny side.
Charlie Hoffman's the other one I'm going to give a mention to.
Okay.
Another local guy. Obviously, Ryan Moore's won this. Kevin Na's won this, and they're both Vegas residents.
Yeah.
Charlie Hoffman, another UNLV grad. Mm. What are they? What's their nickname? You know you. Yeah,
the Gators, is it?
No, that's Florida, isn't it? Florida people.
I've no idea though.
Yeah, something like that.
I follow the National Dogs Football League, but not the not the college sport out there, which is a shame because the college sport gets more viewers than the American football sometimes.
Yeah, I think that's one time when I think I really want to be American just so I could.
It looks
get
fantastic,
into
doesn't
sport.
It?
Yeah. I've read quite a lot of the. Have you read any of the John Feinstein books?
I've not.
Yeah, they're brilliant. He's done a lot on golf. He did one, the initial one, The Good Walk Spoiled, which I think won William Hill Book of the Year back in the day. Quite an old book.
Right, okay.
But he's done lots about basketball.
I'm trying to think if I've read that one. I don't know if I have read
that.
I don't think
I can't
have read
one. He's done others since. He's done a lot about basketball.
I think
well.
I have read A Good Walk Spoiled, but it was a long time ago,
right,
I think.
Cracking book. What were we on about?
We've gone off on a tangent, haven't we?
So Las Vegas residents, I think
they need looking
at. They are favoured, yeah. So you've got Watney. Obviously, I'm on Ryan Moore, Piercy.
Yeah.
So there's quite a few who could contend this week.
Okay, just to recap then, in the event in Hong Kong, I'm going with Wai Yang, a point each way, 80-1. That's my only pick this week from a personal perspective. Mike's with Carl Peterson, a point each way, 80-1 in the Shriners. Your picks this week, Dave?
Yes, I'll
before
go.
Before we wrap?
Half a point each way, Craig Lee.
100-1.
100-1 in Hong Kong. And then I'm going to go 1.5 points each way, Thong Chai JD in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And also 1.5 points each way on Ryan Moore in Vegas, baby.
Good stuff. He is 25-1, Ryan Moore. Remember, you can follow myself, Dave, and Mike on Twitter, at D. Kellner, at Dave Tindall Golf, at M. Grenham. You can get this podcast numerous ways. You can go to williamhill.com/podcasts. Check us out on audioboom.com by typing in William Hill. And do please go to iTunes and subscribe to all William Hill's podcasts as well. And myself, Dave, and Mike hopefully back next week for more golfing action. Get your bets on for the Hong Kong Open and the Shriners here with William Hill, and we'll speak again very soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.